Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 46th year here in St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person at one of our services. On Sunday mornings, new membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., we start to worship. And then on Wednesday evenings, join us at 6 p.m. in our sanctuary for corporate prayer, followed at 6:45 with General Assembly Bible Study. For a complete list of all the activities and events happening here on the St. Paul campus, visit our website at www.stpaulsac.org. And while there, you can browse our entire archive of faith-building sermons from Dr. Williams, as well as find many resources to help you grow in your Christian faith. This past Sunday was Fifth Sunday, and you know what that means. It was Women's Day, and we welcomed in all the way from the country of Stockton, California. She's First Lady of the Progressive Community Church in Stockton, Sister Yvette Shields. And she titled her message, Building Godly Relationships Through Prayer. And as a scriptural reference, she referred to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. And friends, we do have this message available for you in the full-length version on compact disc or DVD, your choice, to review on your own or to share with friends. It's order number 4688. And to request a copy, call our business office Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. at area code 916-737-7070. Ask for extension 226. Or log on to our website at stpaulsac.org. We are going to be serenaded by the Women's Day Choir, and immediately following their selections, the next speaking voice that you will hear will be that of Sister Shields.
Blessing me right now, oh, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, oh, right now. He woke me
The devil everything God had said. Ooh. But then this serpent answered back. He says, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. That's why there's so many malls in America, based on this principle. And then she also wanted the wisdom it would give her. She wanted to be bright about it. She wanted to get that good sale. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, brothers, who was with her, and he ate it too. Even though in Genesis 2 and 15 and 17 it says the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat from the fruit of the tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, brothers, y'all knew the rules. Now, why did Brother Adam eat it? Because Eve didn't die right away. We're going to go right on. All right. And so, anyway, they both ate. And then at that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So this is the original Naked and Afraid show. Anybody watch that show? It comes from right here, the Naked and Afraid, okay. And then after their sin, just like ours, things start happening. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. When sin comes, like Adam and Eve, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Lord, help us when the brother man gets afraid and he's naked. Stay away, women. Stay away from fearful men, especially when they're naked. Let me stop. Okay, verse 11. God says, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And look what the man said. Lord help the brother. He said, it was the woman God you gave me. That woman gave me the fruit and I ate it. Then the Lord God looked at the woman and said, what have you done? And then she did, the serpent deceived me. She replied, that's why I ate it. We're talking about a level ground. We're talking about what we inherit. So we're in this garden. We got the devil. We got a woman. We got a man. We got some disobedience. We got some rebellion. And then the blame game shows up. But just like God deals with us today, when the sin shows up and we rebel, he gives us consequence. You get a consequence, I get a consequence, you get a consequence. And this life that we live, we can choose the sin, but we can't choose the consequence. We can choose the sin, but we can't choose the consequence. So choose wisely. So here comes the consequence season. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And he said, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. You're going to have generational curses. And if you look in your family, you have some generational curses. Don't we, Auntie? And when God shows you your family line, you got to deal with it. Because remember, we all get some stuff we inherit, okay? And then he says, but here's Jesus in the garden. He says, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That's a prophecy to Jesus. So Jesus, even in our messy gardens, God said there's grace. Even in our messiness, there's God, there's Jesus, and there's grace. So don't give up when you're not getting along with your family members, all right? Verse 16, then he said to the woman, woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. Women say, ouch. And in your pain, you will give birth. And I did it four times. Lord, help me. Okay. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. There's an authority struggle right there. God said, I'm giving this divine order. But ladies, you ain't going to be happy. Brothers, I didn't write it. Okay, all right, I'm just reading what he said. But brothers, here's verse 17 for you. And to the man, he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you back in Genesis 2, not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. God said, you're going to eat, but it's going to be hard. You're going to eat, but it's not going to be fun. You're going to go pick a flower, and you're going to get stuck. And then lastly, in verse 19 at the end, he says, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Death. So let's think about this garden piece, what all we inherited since we build in relationships through prayer. And when we realize that we all got garden issues, we're going to give people a grace pass. I got junk, you got junk. I got junk, you got junk. So we got to give each other a pass. So when I asked you to think about, consider Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, you and... you got to give them a pass because we all have some junk in us and some junk that we don't like to deal with and we don't want to admit. So the garden, not only didn't it gave us something to be, we wanted to be something we weren't created to be, gave us pride. I want to be like God. It gave us shame, inadequacy, all these feelings. We lost fellowship with God. There was no freedom and ease to walk around naked in paradise anymore. We couldn't just go pick a fruit. We have to argue about where we're going to eat. See, we lost all of that. And then most of all, remember when sin comes, we tend to hide from God. And because there's fear of judgment and our innocence is lost. Now, moving on. So y'all got that person in your mind, right? Okay. So like I said, since we all are Adam's and Eve's kids, we need God's wisdom to improve our get-along skills. Like I said, I work in an elementary school, and most of my recess duty time is conflict resolution. And it normally comes after the bell rings, because nobody is in conflict until after the bell rings. And they run up to me, Mrs. Shields, this, and this happened, and da-da-da-da, and da-da-da, this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, one, it wasn't that important until the bell rang. Two, you don't want to go back to class. And three, I really don't want to write you up. So what can I do to get out of this? And I am often praying for God's wisdom. And usually my wisdom in conflict resolution in first grade, second grade is, two wrongs don't make a right. And they look at me, what you talking about? I say, you were wrong when you did this. You were wrong when this was this. And what are you going to do to make it right? Because if you don't make it right, you don't get next recess. And then they figure it out and go line up, okay? Now, there are some people that we need wisdom to deal with. Wisdom gives people the ability to navigate life successfully. So I'm going to give you this little analogy. On, off, in, out, wisdom, foolishness. And when we're not walking in wisdom, we are walking in. And there are times when we have to pray not to walk in foolishness. So the Bible says if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if you don't know, ask. How many of you got a difficult relationship in your life right now? Excuse me, we in church. How many of you got a difficult relationship? Okay, God says, remember the garden. Ask for wisdom. Amen. Don't be lying in church. Y'all know y'all don't get along with everybody. Oh, my goodness. All right, so now we're in Proverbs chapter 8, and I'm going to read 6 and 8 and verses 32 through 6, and that's kind of small, so I'm going to kind of cheat over here. Okay, wisdom says, listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. So God says, I don't want you going through life bumping your head all the time. Okay, and since I'm here, there's nothing worse than mean church people at work. You know, y'all mean at work. Nobody can get along with you. And then you want to tell people you go to church on Sunday. Stop it! Verse 7. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. Live who you are. Verse 8, my advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. And then if I skip down to verse 32. And so, my dear children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. So if you meet a mean Christian, most likely they're not walking in wisdom. And the reason they're not walking in wisdom is because they're not spending no time with Jesus. But they come to church. Amen. All right. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Verse 34. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds a life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. Self-inflicted wounds when you don't listen to wisdom. And we all, because we come from the garden, we have some self-inflicted wounds. So how do you deal with that? Oh, this is the last part I wanted to say. All who hate me love death. So one compliment I always get, Mrs. Shields, you're always smiling. Why are you always smiling? Well, I told y'all I like to have fun. And then all of my kids don't live with me anymore. That's another reason I'm always smiling. And so that my children and their father taught me how to just kind of accept people who they are. Live with them. I love my one of my sons says, Mom, if you had to choose between me and one of my brothers to live with again, who would it be? I said, neither one of you. Once in a lifetime is enough. You need a wife who's going to love you, who's going to put up with you. And so that's why I smile, because I just live with my husband. So what moving on to wisdom and women. And so women, we're talking today about Women's Day, right? And wise women build. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved it 7 columns. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. That's a heavy one, isn't it? Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And then lastly, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Good sense. Though, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. So I decided today that I was going to be the expert on being a wife and mom. And why am I the expert? Because I'm experienced. I didn't say I was perfect. I just said I was an expert. And April 9th was 34 years, Pastor. And so I came to tell you that when I was young, married, 19 and 20, 5 months pregnant, husband in Korea, I didn't have a clue of what I was doing. I just know I need to do the right thing, right? But God honored my prayer. As a 19-year-old, I would be on the side of my bed praying, Lord, give me the wisdom and help me to be the wife and mother you called me to be. And I sincerely, because I didn't know. You know, my parents were divorced. My grandparents were married on both sides, but not always happy. So I didn't really have good role models, so I needed God's wisdom. And then when he started giving me these babies, bip, bop, bam, and thank you, ma'am, because I had 4 kids like in 6 years. Not only I needed wisdom, I needed God's strength. Yeah, and an appointment at Kaiser. Anyway, but I say that lightly because I needed God's help. I didn't know what it looked like. And I'm here today to say 34 years later, he honored that prayer. And how did he honor that prayer? Because my husband and I still like each other. My kids and I, we still enjoy our time with each other because they live in their own house and pay their own rent. Nah. But women, if you are lacking wisdom, if you can't get along with people, God says, ask me for wisdom, and I will make you a builder instead of a tearer downer. I don't know if that's a real word or not. We all have choices. Here's another choice I had. When I went to work, I took all of my babies with me. Why? Because I wanted to be their mother first. God said, my family came before my career. Amen. And so I made sure that my kids knew they were not an afterthought. My husband was my priority. My husband's still my priority. That's why I know I'm retiring in 5 years. I keep telling him I'm retiring because I got to help take care of him. But when you make those right choices early, you benefit later. You have joy, you're happy, you're glad to be here, you can shop freely, he doesn't look at you as much when you come into the house. God is good. So anyway, if you lack wisdom, ask. And I am seeing a lot of young women, they're not building themselves spiritually, they're not building themselves physically, they're not building themselves academically, and it's going to suffer later. So women, make sure you're asking God how to build yourself. If you're single, build a healthy single life. If you're a widow, build a healthy widow life. Wherever you are in life, God can meet you there. All right, so moving on. A wise woman's toolbox. The first thing that we need in our toolbox is the cross. Our cross reminds us that we have been forgiven. The cross reminds us that Jesus bled and died for our junk, for all our garden issues. Now, if you don't know what your garden issues, just ask your family or coworkers. They will tell you about your garden issues, okay? And so we have to remember, if I've been forgiven, then I can forgive you. If I've received a grace pass, I can give you a grace pass. Sisters, what do you mean by grace pass? I tend to drive fast. Sometimes. Okay, I'm in church most of the time. And so there's times when people cut you off, and you want to, and God says, ah, grace. When I see somebody pulled on the side of the road and they got a ticket, I say, grace. When you acknowledge Hey, grace. When you acknowledge your mess and your shortcomings and your sin, it frees you up to be joyful and give other people a pass. So when you like this, you ain't spent no time with Jesus, and you don't realize how much you have been forgiven. Because that's what it says right there. It says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And if you're in the garden and you're still hiding from God, you need to go get that right. Because you're not very easy to get along with. So go deal with your garden issues. The ones you've been hiding in the garden for about 40 years, didn't tell nobody else. And didn't think nobody knows, but then you can't get along with nobody because you never dealt with it. All right, fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So we got the cross, we got our fruit in our purses. It says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I'm going to rest. Pick one. What y'all need? What do you need to show to somebody else? Where we live, yeah. And this is hard. Yes, self-control. Just because we see it don't mean we need to eat it. Just because we see it don't mean we need to buy it, even though it's 50 off the 50 rack. All right. And we need a huge slice of humble pie. Amen. Anybody struggle with pride in here? We in church. I do, because pride, you want to self-protect yourself. You don't really want anybody to know where you came from sometimes. And if you grew up in a home that was tough or where you were criticized a lot, this is hard for you. This is very hard for you. So pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. That's your get right moment. As the kids say, I need to go have a get right moment. Here's your get right moment, Psalm 69 and 5. And like I said, if you're not sure of your sin issues, ask somebody you live with, okay? They'll tell you, amen? Now, we're building, so we dealt with the garden issues, we've asked for wisdom, so now we're going to look for an application of how to apply this stuff. So we're going to go to Mary and Martha's house. And y'all heard about Mary and Martha. We got these two sisters, right? One want to have fun, and one is perfectionist and want to perform, you know. But she had a good, you know, she had a good intention. So as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And that's a good thing, right? Jesus is coming through. He got his partners with him. They hungry. Let me feed Jesus. That's important. I got to cook for Jesus. Okay? And sometimes we're in church, we think what we have to do is more important than spending time with Jesus. And so you're mean when you come to church. No, you're not happy. Nobody can get along. I've been in church a long time now. I can speak like that. Verse 39. But her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. I'm going to take my time and read that slowly. But her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening. She sat and she listened. Women, we're often busy and we don't make it a priority to sit and to listen. And me, and I know that applies to you too, especially if you're golfing with my husband. No, I'm joking. All right, so Martha, welcome to the Mary set. But look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Martha was throwing a fit. You know I got Jesus and his boys right here, and we got to cook for all these folks. Look at you sitting down listening to him. We all have choices. When we get frustrated, are we going to act like Mary? Are we going to act like Martha? Or are we going to prepare like Mary? And that is a priority, okay? Now, I'm a busy woman. because I have to be to work at 7:30. I don't like being a morning person, but I am now. And I have my small group here, and we have a Monday morning prayer line call at 5:30. I had to fight my flesh to get on that phone. Matter of fact, all of us, but we've seen the results of getting up early. And we've been praying for more than a year on Mondays at 5:30. And God has did some dealing with our garden issues. He did some healing. He did some revealing. But it's all because we make spending time with God a priority. So here's a question I ask for all of us here this morning. What would your life look like? How much joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit would you have if you made spending time with God a priority in the morning before you go to work? What would your work day look like? What would your retirement life look like? What would your speeding tickets look like? No. But and so this is a reminder. We have to sit down and listen to Jesus. Because if not, we're going to get frustrated. We're going to take on too much we shouldn't do. Our life's going to be out of order. We're not going to be building our homes. We're going to be destroying them. And look where we are today, America. Lord, we need wisdom. Verse 41, but I love Jesus because he always tells the truth. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, and I would tell you to cross out Martha's name and put your name there. My dear Yvette, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing, and if I told you had the Bible, circle one thing, worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. The one thing. What is the one thing that we all need to do? Let me go back right here. It says right there, verse 39, sit at the Lord's feet, listening to what he's saying. So if we're going to build relationships that are healthy, we got to acknowledge our garden issues. They're worth it, though. We are created to live in community, no matter how hard they are. You want to find somebody happy? Find somebody that has a bunch of friends, real friends, or they have close relationships. We have to pray for God's wisdom and respond to his direction. And that's not always easy, but it's necessary. We have to be honest and own our part when conflict arises. Most of us don't like conflict. How many of you like to argue? Nobody like to argue? Okay, good, I don't. Yeah, well, most people don't like to argue. And so that takes humility. And so, ladies, we cannot leave home with an empty toolbox. We need to have our cross. We need to have our fruit of the Spirit. And we need to have our humble pie. Amen? All right, well, that's all I have for you. So God bless you, and thank you for allowing me to come. Amen.